so much and inviting me to come and get to worship with you good people again and share with you. I love this church. I love being able to come here and spend time with you. I want to say that the last time I was here, y'all could barely hear me because I didn't have a voice much, but I'm thankful to God I've got a voice this morning that I can use for him. I truly enjoyed our time here, but I want to say thank you. When I was here preaching for you as the first service of your revival, you folks gave myself and Teresa a love gift that was just amazing. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. It blessed us so much. You didn't have to do that, but thank you very much. And by the way, it is good to have Teresa here with me today. I know that y'all have been praying for her. I appreciate that. She does, and we would appreciate it if y'all would continue to pray for her, for God's healing touch on her body. But thank you so much for all of that. I'm just overwhelmed by the presence of God this morning already. I know that God is doing something here this morning that's amazing and miraculous. And you know what? He doesn't even need me to do it. He can handle all that stuff on his own. And I'm thankful that I serve a God that can do that. This morning, take just a moment and look to the person to your right. Say, I love you. Now look to the person to your left. Say, I love you. Now look to the person in front of you. Say, I love you. Now look around behind you. Say, I love you. Now then, don't we feel better? You know what? Some people don't get to hear that very often. When they come to church, they ought to hear it from everybody. Because we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to... I love seeing somebody come to the altar and two or three gather around. I love that. You know what that's saying? Even if you don't say a word, that hand on the back says, I love you. And I care. And that's what we're supposed to be about as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you want to turn your Bibles with me, we're going to be in James chapter 1. But as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be real. Can I get an amen on that? We live in a day that's messed up, don't we? I'm very convinced that we are facing one of two things today. We're either facing the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, even so come Lord Jesus, amen? Or we're facing a global revival because God will not allow things to continue to go as they're going. What I want to say is that we who are saved and born again, we need to be living and keeping with the urgency and the emergency of the times that we're living in. And we need in our lives and in our churches and in our faith, we need a reality, a real religion is what I'm trying to say. I saw a picture this week of a young man who now has decided that he wants to dress and live as a girl. Somewhere out there today, there's a young mama that's contemplating whether she's going to keep her baby or she's going to kill it. Recently heard a statistic that most of our young adults, the millennials, 43% of them, don't believe in God. And if they do, they don't care. Israel's under attack. Our country's gone nuts. People need something that's real. People need to see something that's real. James puts it this way in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Can we pray together for just a moment? Father God, I love you today. And Lord, you have been so, so good to me. I don't deserve anything you've ever done for me, but I praise your holy name for all the blessings you've poured out on my life. I praise you, God, for taking care of my wife and helping her to feel better. I praise you for my children who walk with you. I praise you for churches who are loving you and serving you and reaching out to their communities like this church that I have the privilege to get to preach in this morning. I praise you, God, for the souls that you have touched, the lives you have changed, those you have saved. And I praise you, Father, for those that you are going to touch today. Father God, there's some lost folks in this building today. Lord, it's my prayer that they'll be saved, miraculously saved today. That they will meet you and they won't be able to say no right here in this service today. It is my prayer also, Father, that we as your children will take it serious. That we'll get real. Because the times are so desperate. Oh God, we need you. And the world needs to see you. And one way they see you is through your church. God, open this scripture up to us today and show us, Father, what you need for us to know. And help us to grow in Christ because of it. For it's in the precious name of Jesus, my Savior, that I pray. Amen. What we're going to talk about today is real religion. Not a religion that's superficial or fake, but a religion that's supernatural. So we're going to look at our text today and we're going to kind of walk through it. And any of you, some of you don't know me, some of you do, and those of you who do know me know that I'll run a rabbit about 5 miles before I get back around to where I'm going. So hang on, we'll get there. Let's look at this text, and first off, let's look at the dangers of superficial religion or fake religion. In verse 26, he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. There are three dangers of fake or superficial religion that are mentioned in this verse, and the first of those is that it lacks reality. Now, there are many people who only have a form of godliness. They have a name that they live, but they're dead in their trespasses and sin, and their religion is only an illusion. There's nothing worse than religion without reality. Folks, we should have a no-so salvation. Not a hope-so, not a think-so, not a maybe-so. We should have a no-so salvation. I talk to people all the time and I ask them if they know Jesus, if they know that they're on their way to heaven. They say, well, I hope so. I don't have to hope because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I have been promised in the Word of God that I have a home in glory, not because of me, not because I'm good, because my righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord, but it's because of the sweet promises of God. Too many Christians are like question marks when we ought to be exclamation points. Too many Christians are doubting Christians when we ought to be shouting Christians. Paul said in 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He didn't say I was keeping it, did he? He didn't say that I could do enough good things in order to keep my salvation. He didn't say that I could become greater and greater and greater and just work my way right up into glory, did he? No. He said, I know whom. The whom is Jesus. He said, I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that Jesus is able to keep what I've committed. What have I committed? I've committed my eternity to him. I've committed myself to him. I've committed my life to him. I've committed my everything to him. So I know whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded. I know that he's able to keep me. You know why he's able to keep me? He's God. That's the coolest thing in the world. He's God. And if he said it, that's it. I don't even have to believe it. If he said it, that's good enough, right? In John chapter 5, I want to read this verse to us. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Y'all done got me excited. Whew. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty simple, right? You got him or you don't, right? Then he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That ye may know that ye have. Did that say might have? Possibility? I think so. Maybe. No, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You've got it. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Woo! If you've been saved, if you've been born again, you ought to know it. It ought to be just as real to you as your first birth. Do you seem to simply be religious this morning? Or have you been born again? In other words, is Jesus real to you this morning? Now, not only does superficial religion lack reality, it also lacks restraint. There in verse 26 in James chapter 1, once again, he said, you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. Now, what is the writer saying here? He's saying, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, if your religion is real, it's going to show in the way you talk. I heard about this woman one time who was a great church worker in her own mind. But she had a loose tongue. She loved good gossip. She liked to get on Facebook and see what the latest little word was, you know? Couldn't wait to talk about, sister, you need to pray for so-and-so. They're in deep trouble. Let's see if we can't scatter this around a little. Y'all know the type, right? instead of going and saying, hey, I heard this rumor about you. I'm not going to continue rumors. Let's me and you, I just thought I'd share this with you because I heard this about you. You know that's the way to kill rumors? Anyway, this woman, she also liked to try to impress people, and she thought she would impress her pastor. And she came forward during the invitation. She took her pastor's hand and she said, Pastor, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. He looked to his left. He looked to his right and he said, well, it's only 24 feet long, but maybe we can make it. That's pretty good. I don't care who you are. James was a hard-nosed pastor. Listen, I don't care where you go to church. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. If you are a peddler of profanity, if you are a lover of lies, if you are a hurler of hurts, if you are a traitor in trash, if you are a fondler of filth, then your religion is in vain and you need to be saved. Now, this is not the only area where we need restraint, okay? James just uses the tongue as an illustration of the fact that when we're saved, our lives change. If your religion hasn't changed your life, you better change your religion, is what I'm trying to tell you. Why? Because you don't know the kind that saves. Because, folks, I want to tell you something. When Jesus came into my life, I could not be the same again. He transformed me. You know, he told us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When Jesus comes into our life, he makes a change. He makes a difference. You talk different. You walk different. You act different. There's a joy that you can't explain. Hey, if nothing else, folks, just walk around and smile if you can't do anything else. At least then everybody will wonder what you're up to, if nothing else. You know, just there ought to be a joy radiating out of the people of God. Now, why? Because what me and a couple of guys talked about earlier. One day Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take us to be with him. We're going to be raptured out. He's going to take us to be with him in glory. And then we're going to miss all that awful stuff that you read about in the book of Revelation. That's glory to God that we're not going to have to face that. But even greater than that is the fact that we're going to get to be with Jesus forever and forever and forever and live in perfection. There ought to be joy inside of us, y'all. When you got up this morning to come to church, did you say, I've got to go to church? I've got to go teach that class. I've got to go do whatever it is that I do within the church. Or did you say, I get to go to church? I get to go teach that class. That one little letter in that one little word makes all the difference in the world. Folks, it is a privilege to get to come here. It's a privilege to get to serve the Lord. Hey, I don't deserve the privilege to get to stand here. But God gives me that privilege. God gives me that joy to be allowed to do this. So whatever it is that God has called you for, whether it's to take care of these sweet little old babies, or whether it's to put up with old folks like me, or whatever it is, if God has called you to clean the toilets, you get to do that for Him. That's right. Do it with joy in your heart. That's the kind of salvation that makes a difference. Otherwise, you're just living in religion and you are a miserable person. Some of you miserable right now because you know what I'm talking about. You don't have joy. You don't have peace. You might ought to be checking to see if you have Jesus. Hey, you can join every church across this country. You can be baptized in every baptistry, pond, river, lake, whatever. But if you don't know Jesus, do you know what you are? You're just a wet, lost sinner. That's what you are. Because none of that saves. All of that is after. The only one that can save is Jesus. What else does it lack? Superficial religion lacks reality. It lacks restraint. But it also lacks results. Now that word vain in verse 26 means fruitless or non-productive. This religion is no good. There's nothing to it. It is a waste of time. Sometimes we hear people say that what we need is more religion in America. No, we don't. Do you know that most people in America are religious? The problem is most of them are religious, but most of them are lost. Folks need to turn from religion and they need to turn to Jesus. Listen. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a vital relationship with a person. When you get saved, you receive Jesus Christ. He comes into you. His Spirit lives in you. He changes you from the inside out. Religion is simply the outward expression of what's inside. If you don't have Jesus on the inside, then your religion is just superficial. You're going through the motions of something. If you have Jesus on the inside, then your religion is supernatural. You can't explain supernatural, can you? Folks, I can stand up here all day long and I still won't be able to explain to you what happened to me on the day that I got saved. All I can do is tell you, try it. You'll like it. Nobody can explain that, what happens. But it's amazing, isn't it? Religion doesn't save. Jesus saves. You know that Satan doesn't mind that you're religious? He'd just as soon you go to hell from a pew as a gutter. He don't care. You be religious all you want to be. You play church all you want to. You dabble around and you mess around. You do whatever you want to as long as he takes you to hell. He don't care. Have you been born again? I don't know how to ask it any other way. Are you saved? What kind of religion do you have? Folks, I don't have to finish preaching today. If there's somebody lost this morning and you've realized it and you understand that you're lost, hey, that's what's most important anyway, isn't it? That people come to know our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a reason why people fall on their face right down here, especially God's people. We go through some stuff. We get beat up. We get pounded down. We need to come to the only one that can help. If you don't know him, I want you to know that he loves you. You're the reason he came. You're the reason that he lived a perfect, sinless life. You're the reason that he suffered and bled and died on a Roman cross. You're the reason that he went to the grave and 3 days later overcame death, hell, and the grave. He walked out victorious and alive. You're the reason. You're the reason. I'm the reason. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Whosoever, don't you praise God you're a whosoever today? Glory. That's glory when you know that God loves you. And then when you come to the understanding that you don't deserve it, that'll knock you to your knees. That'll put some humility in you. What kind of religion do you have? Well, we've looked at superficial. What about supernatural? Well, according to verse 27, first it reaches upward to God. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. It reaches up. Supernatural religion recognizes God as Father. And there's only one way to have God as your Father, and that is to accept Christ as your Savior. God's not the Father of everyone, y'all. There is no universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of men. Especially in today's world, you hear things like that everybody's worshiping the same God, they just call Him different names. Now, is that scripturally correct? See, you always go back to the Word, right? Because it really doesn't matter what I say or what I ramble on about. You better be able to go back to the Word, right? There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. Jesus is it, y'all. He doesn't have another name. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through Him. He's it. But we live in this society where you're not supposed to hurt people's feelings. You're not supposed to tell them they're wrong. And there's a lot of people going to go to hell because somebody wasn't willing to hurt some feelings. Now, I'm not talking about being rude and ugly. Y'all know that. But for some people, when you tell them the truth of the gospel, it hurts their feelings. Because it's not what they want to hear. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction. God's put a love in my heart for people. Love young folks. I love little old babies. I love us older folks too. God's put a love in my heart for people, and I don't want to see nobody perish. And especially under the disguise of religion. To follow a false religion and die and go to hell thinking all along you were right and okay. No, I'll go down swinging, y'all. I'll go down swinging. I'll fight to my last breath to prove that Jesus is real, that He's alive, and they're a whosoever, just like I'm a whosoever. It reaches upward to God. What else does it do? It reaches outward. Supernatural religion. When a person is saved and born again, then that person, they'll have a heart of compassion. We'll reach out to people in distress. Widows and orphans there in verse 27, that's an illustration of people in need and people who are hurting. And there are people everywhere in that condition, y'all. If you've been saved, Jesus wants to minister to hurting people through you. If your religion is real, it won't just show up with you on Sunday. It'll walk with you on Monday, is what I'm trying to say. Now, finally, supernatural religion reaches inward. If you've truly been saved, I'll give you a pure heart. Now, by the word world there in verse 27, James is talking about an ungodly value system. He's talking about that lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life stuff that John talks about in 1 John. How do we do this? How do we keep ourselves unspotted from the world? Well, it's not by us struggling and us trying and us doing our best to be that perfect person. It's by trusting in the one who can keep us. Like I said earlier, my righteousness is as filthy rags before God. I can't do enough good to be good to God. Now, why is that? It's because I was born with a sin nature just like you. We inherited it from our first parents, right? When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, everybody else inherited sin. Amen? Okay. So I can struggle all that I want to, but I'm still going to have ungodly thoughts. You mean saved people have ungodly thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, you let them mash that finger with a hammer just right. They sure do. You mean ungodly people lose their temper, or saved people lose their temper? Some things just tick me off. You mean saved people say things sometimes that they ought not say, or they maybe run their mouth and gossip about people when they ought not be doing it? You mean saved people do all of that stuff? Yeah, and it's because of that, what I said before. We're sinners saved by grace. We have a sin nature that's been covered by the blood of God, but that old sin nature likes to sneak through from time to time, and there lies the struggle. And so in the struggle, we sometimes wind up on our face saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But a lot of times we forget to do that. And we keep moving further away from God with every little thing that we do. We let one little sin creep in. Not too bad. We don't deal with it. And then another one creeps in alongside of it. Well, that's not too bad. We can manage this. And then before you know it, you're struggling to hear the voice of God. You're struggling to feel the conviction of God on your life. You're struggling to care about your neighbor. You're struggling to care about your church. You get to the "I've got to go to church" instead of "I get to go to church" situation. You struggle in those areas. And then you come to realize, hey, sin has overwhelmed my life. I've got to do something. I've got to get before God and get this thing right. Now that's supernatural, y'all. With superficial religion, all you're doing is you're just faking it. And so nothing ever gets any better. And so you just live in your sin. But when it's supernatural, I don't know about y'all, but when I sin, I know it. God won't let me by with it. He'll convict me and whoop the daylights out of me until I get something right. It's not by struggling or trying. It's by trusting. Is it real today? Do you know that you know that you know? I do. If there's no other reason that I know that I'm saved, it's because I'm convicted of sin when I sin. You know, lost folks don't get that conviction. The only conviction that a lost person gets is the conviction to be saved. It's those of us, that's one way you know you're a Christian, is when you start receiving that conviction from God for sin in your life. You know you belong to Him. Hey, I'm not going to go out here and whoop another person's child, are y'all? Not in today's world. Now, when I was growing up, I had a Sunday school teacher tear my hind end up. Miss Ruth Lee, boy, she wouldn't cut no slack. Whoo, and then she'd go tell your mama about it, and oh, my word. Whew. Time mom and daddy got through, you'd have wished Miss Ruth hadn't never had to whoop you. Anyway, where was I going with that? Not going to whoop somebody else's child. God's not going to whoop somebody else's child either. That's how you know. Is it real? Do you know that you know that you know? If not, then quit playing this morning. Quit being superficial. How about getting supernatural? Stop enduring religion, and how about start enjoying salvation? Real salvation will carry you through the tough times, y'all. Last couple of years, it's been tough around our house. Me and Teresa have cried a lot. We've prayed a lot. We've laughed a lot. But at the end of the day, we'd have never made it through without Jesus. You say, well, I don't have that. I don't have any sorrow. I don't have problems. I don't have those things that are going on. Hold on, it's coming. Real salvation will carry you through everything, even death. Because God said in Hebrews, He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Real salvation will carry you through the judgment. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Whew. That'll make you take a lap around the church. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Get that. Satan's going to sit here and lie to you this morning. Oh, you've done so much, ain't no way God will ever forgive you. You're so far away, there's no way in the world you can ever get back. You can't be saved. Or Christian, you can't rededicate. There's too much in there. There's too much. That's a lie from hell. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know why? Once again, it's not because you're a good person, because none of us are. It's because of a good God. It's because of the blood of Christ that's been applied to your life. That's why. Now, with all of this said, let me ask you one more time, what have you got? Superficial? Fake? Or supernatural, the real deal? Have you been born again? When you come down to it, we're not talking about religion. Haven't been all morning. Because religion's not going to get you anywhere. We're talking about relationship. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, I can't save you, but I know the one who can. And I'll share with you how to be saved. For those of you who know Him, where you at? Are you enjoying your walk? Is there joy and peace in your life? Christian, let me tell you, there can be. You don't have to continue like you're going. It don't have to be a got salvation. It can be a get to salvation. It don't have to be a got to. It can become joy again. But the only place you're going to find it's right here. This altar doesn't belong to me or the church or anybody else. It belongs to the Lord. And He welcomes all. Now, if you want to know Jesus, I'll be standing down here for an invitation this morning. Christian, if you need me to pray with you, I will. If you don't come to me, I'm not going to come to you because I feel like it's private and personal. But during this invitation, it's not my time, this is God's time. And we're going to be here until God gets through. Amen? So whatever you need to do with, I don't have an explanation for this as to why God gives me the sermons to preach that I preach. I don't even try to. I just preach the message that He gave me for this day at this time. So it's for all of us. I hope you'll use it wisely. Let's stand together and we're going to have a prayer. And then I'll ask the musicians or whatever, how we handle the music or whatever for the invitation. But let's pray. God, I thank You for letting me preach. Lord, I preach what You wanted me to preach and said what You wanted me to say. Now, Father, this is Your time. Lord, it is my prayer that hearts will be touched and lives will be changed forever because of what has taken place here today. Lord, move the obstacles in the mountains out of the way. Just let them come to Jesus. We'll praise You forevermore. I praise You for what You've already done. I praise You for what You're about to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.